Good morning.
Oh, Judy.
Good morning.
Hi, Mia. Wonderful.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very doing very well.
Oh, wonderful. How did the wedding go?
Just amazing.
Oh, wonderful.
Perfect. It was near perfect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really beautiful.
I'm so happy. That's marvelous. Wait a minute, what's happening to Amy?
Sorry.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was beyond wonderful.
Well, you sound amazing. You sound so good.
Yeah, it was something. You know what it's like.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's beautiful. Oh, I'm so happy. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm just trying to gather everybody up.
Hello.
Oh, Mimi, hi, wonderful. Hooray.
Hi, sorry I missed last week. I heard the recording.
Okay, I sent everybody some material today, but it was not in English. It's only in Hebrew. So anybody who wants it can put it on the email, take it off the email. Because we're going to learn a bit for Pesach. I'm just going to send Amy a message. She's always, I can see she's online. For some reason, she's not picking up the call. Wait a minute. Let's just see what's happening. And Dina is the other person. But I don't know where Dina is. Hold on a minute. Oh, Amy. Oh, here we are. She's trying to call me. Hi. Okay, so just Skype has got so tricky lately. It's getting really a pain. I might have to go to a different platform altogether or something, because it's really getting awful. It's getting very hard to pick people up now on it.
I really like using Zoom, if you've ever used it.
I've never used it. The trouble with Zoom is that it only gives you 45 minutes.
Right, for free, yeah.
Yeah, which is a little bit short for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Amy's not picking. Okay. I don't know what Amy. All right. Hi, Amy. I'm calling you on Skype, but for some reason it's not picking up. So just to let you know that we're going to be beginning, and of course we will miss you if you can't join us. I hope you can. All right. Very good. All right. I just sent her a message, and Dina as well. Okay. Yeah. Oh, hello, sweetheart. Oh, my daughter just came in. How wonderful. All right, I'm sorry, I'm just starting a shoe.
Enjoy.
Hello, dearie. Okay. Oh. Wait a minute. How do I do this? Oh, make a message, right. I'm not very good at this at all. I think by now I'd know how to use this thing. Oh, forget it. They know when the class is. I can't do more than try. Right. I'll try Amy one more time. And that's it. Right. Okay. Very good. At least let's see if the recording is working. It is. Okay. So that's the best we can do. All right. Let's start with our prayer. Ribon Olamim, Vadone Adonim, Avra Haman Vaslichot, Modim Anachno Lefaneha, Adonai Eloheinu Vleavotenu, Vikida Bishtahavaya, Shekerav Tono Lotoatra, Lovadatra Vadata Kodesh, Vonatata Lono Helek Sodot to a Tehak Dosha, Ma Anu Umehayenu, Asha Asiti Imanu Chesed Godol Kaze, Al Kain, Anachno Mapilim Tachnunenu Lefaneha, Shetimhol Vitislach, Lokol Hatotenu Vavonotenu, ואליו אבנותינו מבדילים בינינו לבינך. וכן יהיו רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכוננת לבבינו לרעתך ולבעתך. ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, תפתח לבבינו הערל בסודות תורתך, ולימודנו זה נחת רוח, לפני כסי כבודך קרח ניחוח. ותציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, ושיתנוצצו ניצצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר על ידם גלית דבריך אלה בעולם, וזכותם, וזכות אבותם, וזכות תורתם ותמימותם וקדושתם, יעמוד לנו לבל נקשר בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תהיה עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמו מענעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיניי והביט הנפלאות מתורתך. כי אדוני תן חוכמה מביב דת ותבונה, יהיו לרצון עם רפי, והגון לי בלפניך, אדוני צורי וגורלי. Master of the universe and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and forgiveness, we give thanks to you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, by bowing the head and prostrating ourselves, that you have brought us close to your Torah and to your service, the holiest of services, and you've given to us a portion in the inner meanings of your holy Torah. What are we, and what is our life, that you have done for us such a great loving kindness as this? Therefore, we lay our supplication before you, that you pardon and forgive all our sins and iniquities, and do not let our iniquities separate us from you. And may it be your will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, that you prepare our hearts to have awe of you and have love of you. And may your ears listen to these our words. And may our uncircumcised heart open in the inner meanings of your law. And may this learning give pleasure before the throne of your glory as a sweet-smelling smell. And may you bestow upon us the light of the source of our soul in all its aspects. And may the sparks of your holy servant, through whom you revealed these your words, shine out in the world. And may their merit, and the merit of their fathers, and the merit of their Torah, and their perfection and their holiness, stand by us, that we do not stumble in these words. And through their merit, enlighten our eyes in what we are learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, open my eyes, and I will look on the wonders of your Torah. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be forever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
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 Let me just try Amy one more time. It says she's online and she's always there. She's like you know, she really always is so... Let me just... I'll send her a message. We are starting now. There we go. Wasn't a very good message, but never mind, that'll do. Control C. And I'll send that also to Yair, because he's online. Right. Now then, so here we are. All right, so we're going to learn about Pesach from, of course, the perspective of Rabbi Ashlag. Now, he wrote a commentary for the Haggadah, which he wrote in one night or one day or something. Just took it, you know, just sat down and wrote. And it's a bit, it's a bit short, but it's very profound indeed. So I thought that we could actually... Oh, there's Amy. Hooray, we got you at long last.
Hello?
Hello. I said... Okay, very good. You there?
I was stuck on Jerusalem Street. I couldn't get a cab. Oh. I was waited 20 minutes for a cab, and finally someone I know came by and gave me a ride home.
Well, that's because the only way Pesach is coming, you see?
Well, everybody, all the cabs are at the shuk.
Absolutely. Pesach's coming. Everybody's going bonkers.
I know. Tell me about it.
All right. Very okay. Good. So here we all are, and we're going to learn this commentary that Rabbi Ashlag wrote for the Haggadah called Zot Lihuda. All right. And that's what I sent in the email today. I don't have an English translation, although I've done some podcasts on it in previous times. So we're going to begin. If people who want to look at the Hebrew can open the email. And it begins, Halach mo'anya, D'achalu avatana b'arad mitzvayim. So he's commentating on the very first thing that we say. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Ki mitzvat achilat matzah nitna lebnei Yisrael od b'terem yitziyatam mitzvayim. V'haynu al shem ha-gu'ula ha-tida liyot b'chipazon. Now, if we look in the Torah, we actually find that the mitzvah of eating matzah was actually given to the children of Israel before they left Egypt. All right? And now you can ask a question. Because what do we say in the Haggadah? We say, and Rabban Gamliel points to the matzah, and he says, matzah zu, this matzah, why do we eat it? We eat it because when the children of Israel, al shum shelo hispik b'tzeikam shel avotenu lachmitz. Okay? Why? Because the dough of our forefathers did not have a chance to get, become chometz, ad shenigla alehem melech b'achem lachim ha-kadosh b'ruchu u'go'olam. Until the king, the supreme king of kings, was revealed to them, the Holy One, blessed be he, and he redeemed them. Okay? Shne emar, vayofu et habatzek asher hotziu mimitzrayim ugot matzot, ki lo chametz, ki gorshu mimitzrayim, v'lo yachlu litmameh, v'gam tzedah lo asu lahem. And in the Shemot it says, and they baked the dough which they took out of Egypt into cakes of matzahs, because they did not the leaven, if it didn't make leaven, because they were driven out of Egypt, and they could not tarry, and they did not take provision for themselves. So it seems to be a bit of a question, all right? And we actually find that the mitzvah of eating matzahs on Pesach for 7 days was actually given in Egypt before they were before the deliverance, before they were taken out. And we have that, of course, in the parsha that we read on Shabbat in Parshat HaChodesh, that when Moses is told by God that this is going to be the Nisan is the first of all the months, and he gives you all the rules for Pesach. So when we were told that Nisan is the first of the month, and this is before the coming out of Egypt, they were given about the rules for matzahs and not having chometz during Pesach. So the question is, what is this discrepancy? Right? Rabban Gamliel says, why do we eat it? It's because the dough, they were driven out of Egypt and the dough didn't have time to rise. So that could, so we think, well, that's because we're remembering a historical event. But in fact, this mitzvah was actually given before they left. So Rabbi Ashlag's question, or his answer, is actually an answer to a question that we could have asked if we thought about it. That the mitzvah of eating matzah was given to the children of Israel before they left Egypt. Why? It was for the redemption in the future, for the future redemption, which was going to take place about another, 2 weeks later, which was going to be b'chipazon, in haste. So we eat the matzah, so we were given the commandment of eating matzah on Pesach, in fact, before the redemption had actually happened. Okay.
And I miss given because, why? Because of hate?
Haste. Chipazon is haste, because they were hurried out of Egypt.
Right.
Haste, not hate, haste.
I had heard that that there was a matzah festival or recognition prior to the Jews leaving Egypt, like years and years before.
I don't know where you heard that. All I know is what I'm taught by Rabbi Ashlag. Okay?
All right.
Nimtza. Shemitzvat achilat matzah nitna lehem ba'od shayu b'shibud. We find that the mitzvah of eating matzah was given to them whilst they were still in slavery. V'kavanat ha-mitzvah hayta lezman ha-geula. But the intention of the mitzvah was for the time of redemption. Dahainu mishum she'az yatzu b'chipazon. And that was because at that time they left in haste. Now, this whole idea of chametz and matzah, which is such a central idea for Pesach, and especially in these 2 weeks where, you know, when we're coming up to Pesach, when we're cleaning out the houses and we're trying to get all the chametz out, and it's a very interesting to try to understand the inner meaning of chametz and matzah. Now, the sages teach us that the chametz is relates to the evil inclination, and the matzah relates to the good inclination. Okay, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. And in the language of Rabbi Ashlag, we can certainly say that that the matzah relates to the will to give unconditionally to God or to our fellow man, and the chametz relates to the will to receive oneself alone. Okay? Now, in order to receive the great light of Pesach, the great light of redemption, okay, we're asked to clear out the chometz as much as we can. Now, I was reading in the Hasidic work, the Nitivot Shalom, on the inner meaning of chometz, and they really, and why we do the, you know, the cleaning and the checking and whatever. And it's really an inner cleaning. It doesn't mean to say we shouldn't do the outer cleaning as well. You have to do both. But as you do the outer cleaning, you do the inner cleaning as well. Okay? And we try to go as far as we can with it. Now, we only have a certain amount of awareness of our own shtick, you know, our own obstructions. We can only go so far, but whatever we can do, we really need God's help with, to clean out, to try to let go of the will to receive for ourselves alone, so that we can come to the great redemption of the light of Pesach, okay, which is a tremendous light of redemption which comes into the world on the 15th of Nisan, and the night of the 15th of Nisan, when we have this tremendous light of redemption. And the matzah is the appropriate food, is the appropriate the vessel with which to receive this great light of redemption, which is the will to give. Okay? Now, the issue that they came out in haste is actually discussed also by the great sages, especially the Hasidic sages. And I read that the issue of haste, why did God take them out so hurriedly? And the reason was that the Yetzer Hara had got a big grip on the Israelites at that time. And they'd sunk down to the 49th level of tum'ah, and they were liable to sink a little. If they'd gone one further, then they would not have been able to be redeemed. And it was just like they had to go. It was a very critical moment that the redemption had to take place then. Okay, and there's a big inner meaning to the idea of haste, that it was exactly at the right time that they had to go no sooner. They had to get down to that level, because only at that level could they really cry out to God that they needed redemption. But when they got down to that level, it was already dangerous for them to stay any longer, and they had to be taken out as quickly as possible. Okay. So Rav Ashlag continues and he says, וזהו שחביב לנו להזכיר בעת אכילת מצה של עכשיו עניין אכילת מצה של מצרים. And this is why it is so precious to us to mention when we're eating the matzah now that the issue of the eating of matzah of Egypt, of the time of Egypt. Mishum she'anu nimtzim gamken k'b'sha'at ha'shibud b'chutz al ha'aretz. Because we likewise are still in at a time where we are enslaved outside the land. Now, he doesn't mean that we're all in the diaspora physically. What he means is we haven't yet got to the will to receive for the sake of giving. We have not yet got to the Gemara Tikkun. We have not yet got to this great correction of the will to receive into the will to receive for the sake of giving, which is the ultimate Gemara Tikkun. And in that sense, all of us are still got those elements in which we are enslaved to our own egos, to our own elements of ego within us. But when we eat the matzah, we can say, wow, we are eating this matzah now in absolute faith that just as the children of Israel ate it in Egypt for the redemption that was coming, we can eat it now for the redemption that is coming to us. Okay? And this is what he writes here. V'asher gam b'kavanatenu b'mitzvah zo l'amshich ha'gu'ula atida liyot b'mhera b'yameinu amein al derech achilat avotenu b'mitzvahim. So we also have this intention when we eat the matzah this year to draw to us the redemption which is going to come, may it become soon in our time, in the same way that our forefathers ate it in Egypt for the redemption that they were expecting. Okay? So far, so good?
So far, so good.
Okay. Yep. Any questions? Ideas, thoughts? No. Okay. Yeah. Someone.
Beamed from.
I'm sorry.
You know, we're waiting for this redemption. What exactly do you think we will be redeemed from?
From our own will to receive for ourselves alone, and each one of us has got it. And together, we unfortunately form a tremendous web of the framework of uncleanness, a framework of evil that is rampant in the world, as we can see. And that's what we need redemption from. And that's a good question. But we can't, first of the place first to work on ourselves is ourselves, our own individual, and then together we work as a community, and then as a community, then we work together for the redemption of mankind. It works like as a stone dropped in a lake. The ripples go out in increasing circles. Okay?
So should we help our fellow person look for redemption, or is it not appropriate to try to help someone else find redemption?
No, generally speaking, the place to begin is ourselves. Rabbi Baruch Ashlag used to speak about this, and he said primarily the way in which we should help each other is in material things, in material needs. If you see somebody who's got a problem in a material way, then you should help them. In a spiritual way, it's not a good thing to get involved with, because it's usually underneath underlying one's own motive is a subtle motive of control. We're trying to have control over the other person. We're trying to get them to think the way we think. And we can't. And we shouldn't. It's not right. The only way that we can help each other is by learning together. And we learn from the text. We allow that text to speak to us. And we discuss it. And each person can gain from each other's point of view. Okay? But we allow whatever understanding a person gets to be theirs. We don't enforce any understandings on anyone. And the other way to teach is only by example. Okay? There's no other way. And you can only get to giving an example by working on yourself. There isn't any other way to do it.
So does Rabbi Ashlag not believe in counseling?
I think one's got to be very careful in the area of counseling. Again, Rabbi Baruch Ashlag would recommend to the students that if they had issues with their spiritual inner work, which they wanted help with, that they would choose out of the students in the Beis HaMidrash, they would choose one of them who they were very, very close to, who they felt close to, and they could share with each other. But generally, one's got to be careful about that again, because I think it's very important that one, if one goes for any sort of counselling, one goes to a person who understands your own perspective on life. And who shares it to some degree, at least. If they don't share it, then they're going to be counseling you to do things which are absolutely not appropriate for you, or not appropriate for your way of being, or your way of life, or where you're up to in your life. And I think one's got to be extremely careful in the area of counseling. I think it's a tricky business. I know that nowadays there's this big issue of coaching, but one's got to be very, 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 very careful, like to allow the person to be who they need to be, make their decisions in their framework of their perspective. We don't have any right whatsoever to change that. All I can do with what I try to do very much in my lessons is simply to elucidate the texts. And then wherever everybody is in their own individual place, in their own soul, in their own life, in their own framework, you take from it what's appropriate for you. I would not in any way try to tell a person how to live their life or how to do anything. Because it's entirely a personal thing, and I've got, I have enough difficulties trying to figure out my own life. How am I going to tell anybody else what to do? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, but coaches and counselors aren't supposed to do that either.
Well, I know they're not supposed to, but I mean, neither are psychotherapists, but I mean, come on, they all do it.
Not if they're good.
Well... I've got to be a little careful. That's what I'm saying. I think that it's very okay to recognize when one's stuck with something and one needs help and advice from somebody who can look objectively at an issue for you. That's definitely okay. I mean, in the past, one went to the rabbi, but that's not always possible nowadays. And we've got to make use of each other. Each other has got our wisdom, and we can all help by looking objectively. I think there's definitely a place for that. But I think that that's the true role of the counsellor and the coach, is to reflect back to the person what it is, so that they can feel for themselves where their blocks are and what they can do about it. And that's about it, you know? One's got to be very, 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 very aware of not trying to control or give spiritual advice to somebody else for whom it might be totally inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. I feel for myself that that's something important for me.
You said something a moment ago. Maybe I misheard you or misunderstood you, but I thought I heard you say something about material redemption.
No, if a person has got a material need, right? They don't have enough food, or they don't have enough clothing, or like everybody helped me and thank you for when I was ill. All right. Yes, then you help them. All right, and that's precisely the place we're meant to help each other. Okay, but spiritual help? No, you're not going to give people spiritual advice. You've got to be really, really, really a great Ralph to be able to do that. Somebody with tremendous insight in a person's past and in their future and who they are. I mean, a great rabbi can do that. But unless you've really got that insight, I would really, you know, keep back off there. You know, I wouldn't try in any way whatsoever. Okay. All right, so we looked at the idea of redemption. Okay, let's see the next paragraph. Hashata chacha v'chule l'shana haba b'nei chorin. This year we are enslaved, next year we will be free men. V'haynu k'damaman la'ayim asher b'kavanat ha-mitzvah zo yesh lanu l'orer g'ula ha-b'tucha ha-tzidah lanu al derech mitzvat achilat matzah shel avotenu b'mitzrayim k'nal. And this is exactly what we said above, that when we fulfill this mitzvah, we need to have the intention that through our fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah on Seder night, we awaken the redemption which is promised to us in the future, in the way of the eating of the matzah of our fathers in Egypt, as we said above. Okay? So, you know, we can actually do this on Seder night. All right? So just imagine, you know, project yourselves forward onto Seder night. Okay? And the moment has come that everybody's been waiting for our first bite of matzah. All right? And we make the bracha. We make the blessing. And we can say before the blessing, please God, let us be eating this matzah to awaken the redemption, the future redemption, which is sure to come. Okay, the promised redemption, the Gemara Tikkun, the great light of redemption that will come to the world with Mashiach Tzidkenu. Okay, so we can actually do this. All right? So we can have that as an intention, that as we eat the matzah this year, we can do it with the intention that through our eating of the matzah, we will be awakening the great light of redemption for the world. Okay? Right. Now, the next bit starts with Avodim Hayinu, and it's quite a long piece that Rabbi Ashlag brings. So I won't stop too much in the middle of it, all right? But ask me questions if you get stuck, all right? Avadim Hayinu, etc. Shaninu b'masechet Psachim. Now, the rabbis have a discussion in the Gemara. Where are we meant to begin the telling of the story? Now, we all know that we tell the story, we begin Avodim Hayinu B'mitzrayim B'faro.
Hold on a minute, let me just get it right. Avodim Hayinu L'faro B'mitzrayim, that's a bit better. Yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'yad Chazaka V'zruah Netuya. We were slaves in Egypt, to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
Okay, that's where we begin the actual story, right? Okay. Now, everybody in the Gemara is agreed. Shematzchil begunut u'masayem b'shevach, that we need to start with a negative and finish with a positive. We start telling how, you know, we were slaves, and we finish the whole story by telling of the redemption. Okay. U'beinyan hagunut. Pelige Barav Ushmuel. But there was a discussion in the Gemara, what constitutes the negative? Okay? What constitutes the negative here? Rav says we should be beginning from where it says Mitchila Ovdei Ovodazarahu Avotenu, which it comes actually a bit further along, okay? When it says in the beginning, our forefathers worshipped idols, and then there was Terach, and then there was Abraham, and then and so on and so forth. Okay? Whereas Shmuel says, we should start with Avodim Hayinu. And as we know, the halacha is as Shmuel. V'tzarich la'avin plugotayhu. And we need to understand the inner meaning of this disagreement. Hineh ha'ta'am shel la'tchil b'gnut u'laseyem b'shevach u'al derech ha'katuv kitaron ha'or min ha'choshech. There is a reason why it is important to start with the lack and then end with the praise. And this is for the reason that the light shines greater when it shines out from the dark. Right? Like when we look first at what we didn't have, when we look first at the bondage, the spiritual bondage and the physical bondage, okay, then we get the glory of the redemption even greater. All right? And again, for ourselves, when we look at the will to our egos, our will to receive for ourselves alone, where we're stuck, where we're the misery we cause ourselves and others, and we can really see that, then the relief of redemption, when we begin to see how we can do something about that, is a great Yeshua. Va'al Kain. צריך לזכור עניין הגנות שמתוכו יוכר לנו ביותר שיעור חסדיו שעשה עמנו. And this is why we need to remember the negative from which is we can recognize to a greatest measure God's loving kindness. Jody suddenly disappeared. Let me call her back.
Okay. I gotcha. I'm back.
Okay, great. ונודע שכל התחלה שלנו הוא רק עניין הגנות, משום שהידע קודם להוויה, ועל כן היה פרא אדם יוולד, ובסופו קונה צורה אדם. שזה נוהג בכל הפרטים שבביאה, ועל דרך זה היה גם כן בהשרשת כלל האומה הישראלית. Now we know that all of our beginnings start with a negative, because the absence of something has to precede it coming into being. And this is why we have, as it says in Job, man is born as a wild ass. In other words, the first vessels that a person develops in his childhood and until he's a young man, if bar mitzvah, and then carries on a bit longer in adolescence, is his ego. Okay, his will to receive for himself alone. And that's necessary.
That has to be that case, okay? But ultimately, he comes to acquire the form of the person, the Adam, the person who's conscious, the person who is connected with God. And this is true for all elements in the creation. And this is also true in the way that the Israeli nation, the children of Israel as a nation, came into being. And the reason for this is because God brought out the creation ex nihilo. Something came forth where there wasn't anything before. And therefore, there is no being which does not have an absence of being prior to it. However, omnam inyan heder ze yesh lo tzura nivdelet bekol echad ve'echad mipirtei habriya.
Wait, there's no being that doesn't have the absence of being before it.
That's right, yes. Let me finish and then you'll see how it happens.
Okay. Right?
Okay, and this is true for all the elements of creation. Ki kashe nechelak et ha-metziyot la-arba sugim, domeim, tzomea, chai u-medaber, אנו מוצאים שההתחלה של הדומם יהיה בהכרח היעדר גמור. אמנם ההתחלה של הצומח אינו היעדר גמור, אלא רק מהדרגה הקודמת לו שנחשבת היעדר בערכו. והיינו עניין הזריעה ועיקבון הכרחית לכל גרעין, שהוא קבלתו מצורת הדומם. וכן היעדר של הוויות החי והמדבר, כי צורת הצומח נחשבת היעדר כלפי החי,
So he says we can look at reality as divided into four main categories. You've got the inanimate, the vegetative, the animal, and the speaking. We find that prior to the inanimate, there isn't any reality. However, the beginning of the plant world is not a complete absence, but its previous stage is considered as a lack compared with itself. All right, so if you look at the life force in a plant, okay, which has movement, it sends roots down and it sends branches up or shoots up, and it's got it can move towards the sun and it can collect and attract animals to it, or bees, or whatever it needs to fertilize itself, and it can scatter its seeds. I mean, it's incredible, okay? So if you consider the life force in a plant, an inanimate object is definitely considered lacking compared with a plant, all right? And if we consider an animal, all right, then obviously an animal's got far greater freedom of movement and expression and desire than a plant has, okay? And so a plant would be considered as a lack compared with an animal. And if we look at an animal and compare it with a human being, obviously the consciousness and potential of a human being is far outweighs that of the potential and consciousness of an animal. All right, and so therefore an animal would be considered as lacking if you compare it to the human. All right? ולפיכך, מלמדנו הכתוב עניין היעדר הקודם להוויית האדם שהוא צורת הבהמה. And thus the scripture teaches us that the lack which is prior to the aspect of the essence of the human being, which is a man who's a person, who is wanting to connect with God, who has that consciousness that he wants to connect with God, is actually the form of the animal. And this is the inner meaning of the phrase, a man is born as a wild ass. And it has to be that every human being starts off more or less with the same desires as that of the animal. Ka'amor, v'neh katuv omer, Adam u'behema toshi Hashem. As the scripture says,
God saves both man and beast. וכמו שמזמין לבהמה כל משאלותיה הכרחיים לקיומה ולהשלמת ענייניה, כן מזמין לאדם כל משאלותיו הכרחיים לקיומו ולהשלמת עניינו. And just as God invites or prepares for the animal and gives it all its necessary or what it needs for its survival and to fulfill its purpose, so God gives to the human being, prepares for the human being all that he really needs in order to fulfill his purpose as a human being in the consciousness of God. V'yesh la'avin im kein. And if this is the case, we need to understand eifo hu yitron tzurat ha'adam al ha'behema mitzad hachanatam be'atzmam. And in this, we need to look at what is this, what in what way is the man superior to a human being? אמנם זה נבחן במשאלות שלהם. כי משאלותיו של אדם שונות בוודאי ממשאלותיו של הבהמה. אשר כן בשיעור הזה נבדלת גם כן ישועת השם לאדם משועת השם לבהמה. And the difference lies in what they're asking for, what they need. For what a person needs is of course different from what an animal needs. And in this way, the salvation of God to the human being is different from the salvation of God to the animal. והנה, אחר כל החקירות והבדיקות, איננו מוצאים צורך מיוחד נטור בחפץ אדם שלא יהיה נמצא בכל מן החי, זולת התעוררות לדבקות אלוהית. And he says, after doing a lot of research and a lot of checking, we only find one special need in a person's desire, which is not found at all in the animal species. And this is the awakening for connection with God. אשר רק מן האדם מוכן אליה ולא זולתו, which only the human species has and none else. ונמצא שכל עניין הוויה שמן האדם משוער רק באותה הכנה התבועה בו להשתוקק לעבודתו יתברך. And thus we find that the essence of the human species, and it means here that person who really wants to come close to God is only in that preparation which he has stamped within him to yearn to the service of God. Ubezena alehu ala behima, and only in this respect is he superior to the animal. וכבר דיברו בזה רבים, אשר אפילו השכל היוני למלאכות ולהנהגות מדיניות, אנו מוצאים בתבונה רבה בפרטים רבים במין החי. And we find this, there are many people have spoken, that even intelligence for work and governing territory and stuff like that, we certainly find with great intelligence in many aspects of the animal species. So, only in the absence of the search for God do we find that the man is superior to the animal. I'm sorry, only in the search for God do we find that man is superior to the animal. ולפי זה נבין גם כן עניין היעדר הקודם להוויית האדם. And in this we can understand how lack precedes the coming into being of man. שעניין שלילת החפץ והרצון לקרבת השם, which is the negation of the desire and will to come to God. Okay. שכן הוא מדרגת הבהמה, which is the level of the beast. So what he's saying is that people, we start off with our emotional level, our intellectual level, our yearning is like that of the beast to start off with. And then we come, as we grow, we come to truly yearn for God. But if we didn't have that absence first, we could not actually come to yearn for him.
because a yearning means an emptiness, a requirement, a desire. And we cannot actually fulfill the desire if we don't have the desire to begin with. Okay? And this is echoed in the Haggadah. In the way that the script, that the Mishnah says, that the Talmud says, Shamat matchil begunut masayim b'shevach. You've got to start off with the absence, with the negative, and then you really come to the praise. Shetzarich dahanu kadaman. Shetzarich liskol las kilotoy deh hakodim lahavaya shelanu b'derech chiyuv. Kamo shu haganut hakodim l'shevach. ומתוך הנבין את השבח ביתר סט וביתר עוז, דהיינו דתנן מתחיל בגנות ומסיים בשבח. So first we have to look at what was lacking and what became fulfilled in order to really, really feel the redemption. And that's why we start off with the lack and then we finish with the praise. וזהו גם כן שעניין ארבע גלויות שלנו, גולה אחרי גולה. המוקדמים לארבע הגאולות. And this is the issue of the four exiles, exile after exile, which are prior to the four redemptions. גאולה אחרי גאולה, redemption after redemption. עד הגאולה הרביעית, השלמות הגמורה המקווה לנו במהרה בימינו אמן. Until the fourth and final redemption, which is what we're waiting for now, which is waits for us. May it come speedily in our time. Amen. For the exile is the lack prior to the redemption. Now, if we look at the actual letters of the word exile, it is Gimel Vav Lamed He. Okay? So I'm going to write that on the instant messages. Okay? Gimel, where are we? Gimel Vav Lamed Hey. Right, there you go. All right, Gola. Now look at the word Geula, redemption, which is Gimel Aleph Vav Lamed Hey. Okay? And if you look at the two words, we can see that we have the difference between them is just the Aleph. Yeah, so the first one is exile, and the second one is redemption, and the only difference between them is the letter Aleph. And what does the letter Aleph represent? It represents God. It's the connection with God. So first we have the exile, and then we have the redemption. And the redemption is the connection with God, which we can really feel when we have the negative first and the beauty of that connection when we come afterwards. Okay. So now, I'm just going to skip here all that big piece in the middle because we're going to run out of time otherwise. From this, I'm just going to talk now in English because we won't have time to do it otherwise. From this, we can understand the disagreement that there was between Rav and Shmuel. Because Rav thinks we need to begin from first our forefathers were idol worshippers, as they were in the days of Terach, the father of Abraham, who was an idol worshipper. Okay.
He was worse than a worshipper, he was a promoter.
Whatever. However, Shmuel thinks that we need to start with something, okay? Because Shmuel says, in Egypt, they already did have some aspect of the love and service for God planted in an aspect of the people. And the issue of the difficulty of the servitude, which was in Egypt, is not a total absence, but a partial absence. And Shmuel is looking at this discussion and he says, look, the absence itself is actually part of God's salvation. Okay. In other words, a person has to feel that there's something missing in order for him to feel the redemption. He's got to have some awareness that there's something missing. Now, when Terach was an idol worshipper, he didn't know that God existed. He didn't even notice God. He didn't have any thought about God. Like you said, he was a promoter of idols. I mean, so, you know, the fact is he didn't even miss God. He's not even looking for God. All right? So that a total absence, in some sense, is not in a way a preparation for something, because you've got to have something there that you're going to be yearning for. But the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, had been the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew the prophecies. They had been the children of Joseph, the tzaddik, who had sheltered them in Egypt and had taught them. They had had schools set up by Yehuda, okay, when he came down to Egypt. They weren't completely without traditions. They kept their names, they kept their clothes, they kept their distinctiveness, okay? They knew who they were. It's true they lost direction. It's true that they got muddled up and they got confused and they sunk down and became idol worshippers, as the Egyptians did. It's true that they got involved with the civilization of the Egyptians, but they were not completely without any idea of where they needed to go. And because of that, that is a lack which precedes redemption. It was a preparation. And a person needs to feel his lack in order to yearn for redemption. And there's an aspect of the Seder table, the Seder plate, which strikes me every year. And that is, on the Seder plate, we put the menorah right in the center of the Seder plate. According to the way the Ari taught the arrangement on the Seder plate, the bitter herbs go right in the center. Now, the arrangement of the things on the Seder plate is, according to the Sviot, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. So the bitter herbs are Tiferet and Yesod, okay? And these are the middle line. And the middle line is compassion. And you can ask the question, how come the bitter herbs are compassion? In what way is bitter herbs compassion? And the answer is that when they knew, they deeply felt the bitterness of their exile, then that was a compassion that God gave them, because then they could awaken to ask for redemption. Okay? And it's in that sense that Avodim Hayinu is a aspect of lack which awakens us to redemption more than a total lack, which is Terach. Okay, a total lack is like, you know, we don't even know where to begin. But a partial lack awakens us to redemption. Now, if we look at the soul inside the body, the soul inside the body has had an experience of God in the higher worlds. It has had an experience of light and redemption in the higher worlds. And yes, it's true, it's come down into this world and it's gotten involved in the material world. It's got involved with the difficulties of living in the material world and this physical world, of getting involved with, you know, Gashmias, whatever. We all get trapped. We all get trapped by our egos. We all get trapped by different aspects of ourselves. But we have had that experience. We're more like Avadim Hayinu. Okay? It's not that we come from nothing. We come from God. And we've sunk in this material world. But it's a lack which we've had some experience of the love of God and the awe of God in the higher worlds and in previous Gilgulim and in previous incarnations. Okay? And also in different times in our lives. We get the insights, we get love, we get great insights. So, you know, none of us, you know, are abandoned. So we can all come from Avadim Hayinu. We've got stuck in an inner slavery and we're asking God to deliver us from that slavery. And the night of Pesach is a night when that delivery is present and sure. And that's the praise that we give during the Haggadah, during the reading of Haggadah. And that we start with Avadim Hayinu in order that we feel the praise, the joy and the great gladness of this redemption that we're given as a free gift on Seder night, when this great light of redemption comes again into the world on Seder night, okay, which we're all given as a gift, okay, and the more we can see where we've come from, the more we can appreciate that gift. Okay? And this is what Shmuel says. And therefore, this is what Rav Ashak says, and Valkein matchilim b'shibud mitzrayim shkva shvivei avatoid bar hayu ba'er b'libam b'miksat. And thus we begin from the servitude in Egypt, where aspects of God's love were already burning in their heart a little bit. Ela mikotzer ruach me'avodah kasha ele haya holech v'nichba yom yom. But because they just couldn't stand it anymore, and they couldn't manage, it was getting more and more extinguished every day. And this is considered as an absence which precedes a coming into being. And that's why Shmuel tells us to begin from we were slaves in Egypt. Okay?
I have a quick question. Maybe it's not so quick.
That's okay.
That was very beautiful. Thank you. When we're at the Seder table, we think about our slavery as present moment in our lives, but we also want to connect to the slavery of the time as well. Yeah. And so is the connection the slaves that we haven't come to redemption yet, that we're still receiving for ourselves alone? And or is there another connection between us presently and our heritage of slaves? How should we think about that?
I think that's right, actually. I mean, we say in the Haggadah, every person needs to see himself as if he himself was a slave in Egypt, you know, that we need to... I think that's right. We need to look at our own place where we're enslaved within our own place, within our own selves. But we also need very much, I think, to look at the Seder table and the Seder night as God bringing us out. And I think the emphasis is really on the redemption more than on the slavery. Quite, I mean, it's on both, really. I mean, the issue of the slavery, I think, in a way, we concentrate more on, you know, the enslavery to the ego and whatever, is actually on the preparations towards Pesach, when we're doing all the cleaning and we look, you know, coming up now, to getting rid of the chometz and cleaning the house and making all the preparations. It's a time for inner checking. And then when we come to Seder night itself, we really need to come from a place of, yes, the redemption is sure and coming. And because we've been looking at ourselves from this place of slavery, how we are enslaved to the will to receive for ourselves alone, the night of Leila Seder is absolutely a night of joy. It's a light. It's a night where the light of God is absolutely shining, and we need to really, really, I think, put the emphasis on that. Just as he says, you know, we eat the matzah with the intention that we're going to bring this light of redemption in the same way, you know, that God's giving us the redemption tonight on Leila Seder. He's going to give us the future redemption, and have that surety and have that joy on Leila Seder. So I think the issue of the slaves in Egypt needs to be more, I think, really, from what I'm understanding, more in the preparation beforehand. And then on the day of Pesach, you know, in the morning of Leila Seder, we burn the chometz, we get rid of it, we let it go. We say, okay, that's it. I'm letting go of all the slavery within me. I'm letting go of the negative within me. And I come to Leila Seder, you know, as a king, as a prince, as a child of the God, as a, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's a great question.
I just want to be clear about something.
Yeah.
Over the whole thing, the difference between us and animals is that we search for God, we have a need to have service for God, with God, in service to God, and we need to have a connection with God. Are all three did I get that correct? Are we talking about all three, or is there one versus the other?
It's just different ways of saying the same thing. I mean, sometimes I say things three times in just different ways. But it's the same thing. It's not three different things. It's interesting. My kids laugh me a lot, tease me about it. My father had the very endearing habit of always saying everything three times, and I think I caught it from him. I do as well.
That's good, because it helps your students, though.
It's just it's a habit from my childhood. My father always said everything three times.
But he switched a little bit.
Huh?
He changed it up a little bit?
Sorry?
I mean, he changed it. Each time he would change it a little bit so that it would bring more understanding?
Yes. I have this habit too, and, you know, so there we go.
Yeah.
Haven't we talked before in the past, Yedida, about the significance of three times? I'm sure
we have. Three times. There is something about that. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yes, there is an issue there. My father had this very. I mean, he always said everything three times, and I absolutely have that. I mean, there is an issue of three times. It's true. Yeah.
And related to three matzahs.
The number three in Judaism is a very prevalent number because it deals with the right-hand line, the left-hand line, and the middle line, which is Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, or it's also Chesed, Gvura, and Rachamim, Tiferet. The right-hand line is the line of giving, the left-hand line is the line of receiving. And the middle line is a joining of them both in a way which is positive, in a synergistic way, which enhances both of them. So the middle line, the three lines, is something that is very, very, very prevalent right throughout the symbols of Judaism. So you have the three matzahs is not for three times; it's for the three lines, the three main channels. Through which we receive the light of God. right-hand line, which is the light of Chesed, the left-hand line, which is the light of Gvura, and the middle line, which is the light of the synergistic line, the light of which combines them both. The light of Tiferet, sorry. Okay.
During our class, I was sitting here looking out my window, listening to you, mm-hmm. and this came and flew right near my deck, and hanging around, flying around, and this little tiny bird kept coming and dive bombing at him, trying to get him to move away from maybe something that he didn't want him near. But it just sort of made me think about how big Egypt was and how little we were in comparison, and yet we were able to conquer and move. You know,
we were not able to conquer and move. It was God who took us out.
That's what.
On our own, we could not have done it. I mean, that's the message, that we could not have done it. Only God Himself, with His wonders and miracles, could take us out. And that's the message also, that's also for ourselves. That yes, we each of us have the will to receive for ourselves alone. We each of us have an ego, and we have to try to deal with it. But ultimately, what we need to do really is pray to God to help us, because it's actually only God who can really help us take us out of our own inner slavery. Okay. We can't do it on our own. We have to ask God to help us, because it's only God who can help us in that.
The first step was praise, and the second step is requesting for salvation or requesting redemption. Is that what you were saying?
First one, what did you say? First we can... Yes, that's...
What was the second step? Was it salvation, or the request for salvation, or the request for redemption?
Well, first the person needs to have recognition that he needs redemption, okay? And that's what Avodim Hayinu is about, is the recognition that we need redemption, okay? Terach didn't have any recognition that he needed redemption, so that's why we don't start the Haggadah with him. Terach was an idol worshipper who didn't have any of this recognition, which is why, you've got to recognize at first that you need help, okay? And then you can ask for help, all right? Now, it's definitely true that when we turn to God to ask for help, it's always the right thing to start off with praise and thanks, and then you do the asking, which is why in the prayers, we always start the prayers with praises and thanks. You know, Shacharit, we begin with the Psalms of thank yous. And then you come to the Amidah where you have the requests. Okay? So that's actually true what you said. But first you've actually got to have that recognition that you need help. Otherwise, and that's what Avodim Hayinu was about, is that they had some idea of where they'd got stuck and where they were lost. But, they were stuck. They recognized they were stuck, and they couldn't get out on their own. So they were able to ask for help, whereas Terach had no recognition that he was so stuck. Okay. So first, you've got to have that recognition that we're stuck, that we're lost, that we need help, and then we can ask for help. It's only when we can actually acknowledge that we can actually turn to God in prayer, and God can take us out. We can't take ourselves out. And that's why it says in the Haggadah, Ani velo malach, ani velo shaliach, ani hu velo achel. I am not an angel. I am not a seraph. I and nobody else. Okay? So I think the essence of Leila Seder is one of joy, it's one of thanks, it's one of praise, and that's where we need to put our attention. That God does deliver us, and He's there for us, and the redemption, as it came in Egypt, will certainly come for us too. Also as individuals, and also as a people, and also for the world. It's the great light of redemption comes into the world, and if it weren't for the Jewish people, who would create vessels for it? It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful work we're doing, not only for ourselves, but for the world on Leila Seder.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. The world itself should know redemption.
In that light, do you think that we should, I won't do it here, but I have in the past in America, led Seders for Christians. Do you think it's a good idea to lead a Seder for Christians, to explain it to them why we do what we do and have them participate?
I have no idea. This is something completely beyond my knowledge, my experience. I have no idea. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry. It's not something that I feel competent to give any opinion on.
Okay. No, I asked that because I think at some point during your discussion that you talked about helping others in their awakening.
Like I say, the most important place to begin is with ourselves. You can't do for others what you can't do for yourself. If you've got Ein Adam Yechol L'taken Ma She'ein Bo, a person he can't give out what he doesn't have within him himself. So a person can't teach what he himself hasn't done himself. So there's no place else to begin except ourselves, okay? And I don't have personally any experience with that the issue of interfaith, and I can only bring over the work of Rabbi Eshag. I can't give opinions on things like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Yudita.
Thank you. It was great.
Oh, nice class. Wonderful. Yay, wonderful. Very, very, very lovely to be together.
Will we finish next week the second part?
I just did it quickly so that we finished it basically this week. So the idea, you've got the idea. I thought maybe next week to actually find maybe another article, something different to look at. There's so much, on Pesach. There's just huge amounts.
But still on Pesach is what
I was... I think, yes.
Yeah,
yes, great. That'd be lovely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's mind is on Pesach now.
Yeah.
You can't go and teach something else at the moment. Okay.
Right.
Very good. Now, I am working my way through, and I am putting up the podcasts, the recordings of the lessons. So if anybody's missed anything, they can go and put them, go and check them and listen to them. And hopefully I shall send out the accounts as well.
All right. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be good.
Yes, it certainly would. I didn't want to charge for lessons that I unfortunately had to miss giving because I was ill. So I had to sort of like go back and check my diary but thank God I'm feeling so much better.
Good.
Thank God.
Miracle. Good to hear.
Absolute miracle. Baruch Hashem. I'm feeling much, much, much better. And these dreadful surges of blood pressure seem to have calmed down completely now.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. It turned out Dina, who's on the group sometimes, when we could actually get to join in the Skype, she recommended me to go to a different doctor in Nazareth. And he was an amazing young man, and he went through the whole thing, and he said, it's the drugs. He says it was the drugs that were actually causing most of the problem.
Oh my goodness. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyhow, they changed it to something much, much, much less drastic. And the whole thing smoothed out completely.
Thank God.
Absolutely. I still have the things I'm going to the chiropractor for, which has been, he's been amazing. And I'm very grateful for all the inner work that I've been doing because of it. It's obviously something that I had to go through, and I'm grateful for all the understandings that I've gained through it. Very, very, very grateful.
And I'm also excellent. Grateful that, oh, Hashem, I'm feeling a lot better.
Are you able to reduce the chiropractor from twice a week to once a week?
Am I able to what?
Reduce your visits to the chiropractor from twice a week to once a week?
That's what he'll tell me when he feels I'm ready. At the moment, I'm still going twice a week. But he'll say, you know. But Baruch Hashem, it's definitely in a much better situation.
Great.
Yeah.
Good to hear, Yadida. Good to hear.
Oh, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Yeah. They do happen.
All your prayers and all your understanding and all your love that I got in this period.
Okay. That's what friends are for.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
But we're not meeting the following week?
I'm sorry?
Next week, but we're not meeting the following week, which is Passover?
No, I won't be teaching on during Pesach, I don't think. All right? I'm not planning to.
We'll restart after? Week after?
Yes, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so we'll meet again next week and learn before Pesach. If I do teach on Pesach itself, it might just be a local one in Tzfat, an opportunity to meet together. If I do...
Will you send us an email happens?
Yeah, I'll send out emails and let you know if there's anything like that happening. All right.
Okay. That'd be great.
But I might just do that. I used to do it in the past, but it depends a lot about what's happening with the family and also how I feel. Because, Baruch Hashem, I'm a lot better, but, I'm not 100% yet. It depends. I'm taking it easy this year. I'm not giving myself... I'm not giving myself stuff that I can't deal with.
Good.
Okay.
I think part of the unwritten, the Passover lesson too is for us, especially as women, to learn how to take care of ourselves give ourselves
ourselves
sometimes at the front of the line instead of everybody else, and then somewhere if there's time to deal with our own selves.
That's right. Awesome. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I certainly had to learn that lesson myself these last 6 months. It's been a very, absolutely. I just had to completely, change direction totally in many ways. But Baruch Hashem,
there are just different levels of awareness, We're pretty aware women, but sometimes the awareness continues to grow when it's like, wow, I am a person, I am a self.
Yeah, absolutely. There's different levels and it's all the time of growth. Yeah, totally. Totally.
It actually happened when I met
Stevie. Yuffie. Okay. All right, my dear.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Feel good.
Bye then.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.